Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening. We give everyone a very warm welcome into their service tonight. And we just trust in the Lord to have his way in each of our lives. Want to read the first epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 11 and to 13. And just to say, I didn't know till after service, but Matthew's wee girl was in an accident in her car. She came this morning to thank the Lord she was living. The car's wrecked. And I don't know how it coped or whatever, but I seen the photographs of it. The car was on its side down the road. And we just thank the Lord she's all right. And I told Matthew, it's God's mercy. Amen. Kept her. She came along this morning to the service with her wee boyfriend with her. And it wasn't it great? They came. And just pray the Lord's hand will be on them and Amen. Save them and everything. Amen. God does that. Even when you have loved ones that's not saved, God can protect them when you pray for them. I believe that.
Amen.
And God answers prayer so many times, and we just thank the Lord for it. Things could be different, but God answers prayer, and we really appreciate the Lord tonight. Praise God. And Paul Moccasin, my brother Gary, prayed for son. Paul was a really good friend with me from years ago, and he moved over to America, and he pastors two churches over there. And the Lord's really used him with Indian people. He saw a lot of people saved, and the Lord's really used him. He's a brother to Keith Moccasin, Paul is. And Brother John would have known all the family, and some of the rest of his would. But hey, he's over here. I'm not sure how long he's over here. We could have had him preach one of the services, but I'm not sure. He gets a lot of opportunities when he comes to preach, so it might be hard to get to heaven to preach. But also don't forget John Weir's having a mission with a tent. Pray for Brother John Weir that people will get saved. And he's dedicated his life to it. He's not a married man or anything. That's all he does. He's a real evangelist for the Lord, and he goes round everywhere preaching the gospel, and he's seen a lot of people saved. Just pray for wee John Weir that the Lord will really bless him as he does these tent meetings. Praise God. And it's definitely the weather for it. Not a minute. Praise the Lord. Let's read them. Verse 11 to 13. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son of God hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Just let's bow our heads again this evening. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight that we can gather together again in the name that's far above every other name. We appreciate you, Lord. You hold the very breath we breathe. Lord, we don't know what's ahead, but we know that our times is in your hands, and you're in absolute control, and we submit ourselves to you. We yield to the Holy Spirit, and we ask the Holy Spirit to move in us and through us, each one of us tonight. Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to give me more of that same Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. I take the Holy Ghost tonight. In Jesus' name, and I pray for all these needs. You'll meet every need for the prayers that's been prayed. Pray for wee John Weir. Give him strength and give him grace and many souls for his labor. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, bless each one tonight. In the name of the Lord, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I believe tonight you can be saved and know you're saved. And you know, a lot of people is believing on till eternal life. But I believe we can know we have eternal life. We're not believing on till it. We're believing we've got it. There's a difference. You could be believing to get something and you're waiting to get it. But when you receive Jesus Christ, you've got eternal life. Because when you believe on the name, you receive power to become the sons of God, even by believing on the name. Praise God. I want to say the authority of this Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ is what we're preaching this on tonight. We're not preaching on the authority of a movement or a church All them things is all right, but they have a lot of man's ideas in them, but we believe the absolute is the Word of God. You can be saved and know it beyond any question and have the wonderful assurance that you already have a home in heaven and you're never going to lose that place in heaven. A lot of people preach a sort of a gospel that you can be saved one day and lost the next day. And if you don't abide by certain rules, you'll not get in. But I'm glad when Jesus said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There was no question mark at the end. That was it. Period. Amen. And I believe, like the old brethren, and like we should believe, that once you're saved, you're always saved. Now, you might backslid, you might do things you shouldn't do, but you can't be saved twice if you're really saved the first time. And my father backslid for 18 years, but he didn't get saved again because he couldn't have. He was saved the first time. He got restored. David didn't get saved again. David got restored. David prayed, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And the Lord can bring restoration to people that backslide. And there's different degrees, absolutely, of backsliding. We all know that. But the Lord can restore us, but you're still saved. Because you see, you have absolutely nothing to do with the salvation. That's the thing I want to get to you tonight. It's all done with Christ. All you have to do is believe. And if the old man says, how do I believe? Just believe. That's how you believe. Now that sounds simple, and it is simple. And that's just how it is. There's no complication till it. It's the Word of God. You know, now, if you were dying this evening and you were a pure Roman Catholic, and the Lord bless the Roman Catholics, I have many Roman Catholic friends, and I pray for them, God will save them and open their understanding from the darkness they're in. But the priest, if he was giving you your last rites and you were ready to go, he would tell you the thing that he never told you for all them years previous. He would lean into your ear and he'd say, it's now between you and God. Now I'm telling you, I don't want somebody to come to me when I'm dying that I've sat under for years and heard him preach for years and then tell me in my dying breaths, it's now between you and God. I want that preacher to tell me while I'm living that it's now between me and God. I want him to preach it hard and straight that it's now between me and God when I'm living and when I'm out of an understanding to do something about it. I don't want some old jackal to come over and whisper into my ear when I'm dying. It's now between you and God. What a hypocrite that is. Jesus warned us of such. He said there's those that don't enter into heaven and they prevent those that would enter in. And I tell you, we don't need to hear that. You can be saved now and know it. Praise God. I say that salvation's in the present tense. It's not a way off here or a way off yonder, but I say salvation is in the present tense and it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you receive the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have received salvation. Hallelujah. You know, when you hear some people preach today, I was sent notes years ago of a man and he preached and been born again and you'd had to went to some sort of a technical college or a couple of years in university to know what he's talking about. But when you heard Peter and John preaching, you wouldn't have needed no degree to understand them. And when you heard Jesus himself preaching, the Word of God says the common people heard him gladly. And he spoke as one having authority. And he did have. Hallelujah. Salvation's in the present tense matter. You may absolutely know that you have passed from death unto life. That you have eternal life. That you've come to Christ. And that he is your Savior and will never cast you out. And that none can pluck you out of his hand because none of them put you in it. Now I want you to get that. There's not one preacher put you in God's hands. God done it. He uses preachers. He uses men. He uses women. But it's like our brother Brian preached the other week. It's God that's sovereignly. It's God that does it. And we can't glorify no man, only the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He doesn't say, Well, I'll tell you what, when you're dying, I'll whisper it in your ear. He says that you may know you have it. And I thank God I know I have it, that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. He mentions nowhere but believing in Mary. He mentions nowhere but believing in the Pope of Rome. He mentions nowhere but believing in the Baptist, Presbyterian, or the Massey Church, or the Neelum Church, or any other church. The only name you have to believe on is the name of Jesus Christ. That's it, period. No other name. For there's no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 14 of our text. We know that we have passed from death unto life. We know we've passed. Because we love the brethren, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. There's a lot of people you'll get meet today, and I've met them, and they say they have more revelation than anybody else. And they meet someone from another organization and they won't shake hands with them. Because they're revelated people, they say. They're revelated. They have had a revelatory revelation. Now, if you can understand that, God bless you, because I can't. And I've been trying to for years. But they're so revelatory and revelated, you can't even shake hands with another man or woman because they're not in their group. God don't work with groups. God's got a church, period. And there's only one church. There's a lot of wee buildings and wee sacks. We know that. But there's one true church. That's the church of the firstborn. God's got eagles everywhere. Amen? There's eagles everywhere. And you can't put somebody out because they're not in our group or some other group. If they're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Ghost, they're on their way to heaven shouting the victory. Amen? Not the truth. That means only a few of you believe that. Maybe you believe we're the only ones going to heaven. You know, the brethren's a bit like that. I went to the brethren for years. If you weren't a brethren, you were lost. They didn't believe any other church was saved, only the brethren. A lot of them believed that. But I'm glad I'm the real brethren. And your brethren. Because the Bible calls us holy brethren. How many knows that? Not a name of a movement, but brethren in faith. Amen. And we're Pentecostal if you have the experience, but you're not Pentecostal if you haven't the experience. You might have a name of it, but you're not an entity of the experience. Amen. Thank God for the experience. Here it is again. People can be saved and people can know it. Romans 8:16. The Spirit of self beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children of God. By these scriptures, what they say must be believed. The child of God can have unmistakable evidence that he or she is saved. There'll be a change, you know. Amen? When you're born again, when you're saved, there's a change. You hear a lot of people saying they're Christians and they're saved and they're believers and they still smoke the devil's cigarettes and they still sup the devil's alcohol and all the rest of it. Now, you know, there's a fellow telling me the day, I told the fellow this week, and I challenged him, because they go out the back of our work, where I'm working at the minute, and they're vaporing. Who's ever heard of vaporing? It's one of the biggest decoys this world's ever had. I'll tell you that right now. A fag, as you would know it here in Ulster. A fag. How many knows what I'm talking about? A cigarette. Now, there's other things could be called that, and I'll say no more on that end of it. But a cigarette has over 100 ingredients in it, one of them's rat poison. And I have used to have the chart with all the ingredients in it in my office, probably in there somewhere in a box somewhere. But that vapor's worse than a fag. And a young man was telling me the day that he knows a wee fella in New Zealand, 23 years of age, and he smoked like a train. My grandfather said to me, you know, years ago when I was a wee lad and I stayed over there, he said one day he put his hand up on his head and he realized there was no chimney, so he quit smoking. He said if God had made him to smoke, he'd have fitted him with a chimney, but he didn't have one, so he quit. That's about it. But I'm telling you, this wee fellow was smoking heavy, and somebody said, tell him, oh, you want to get vaporing. It'll do you no harm. Well, then he's dead. It done him no harm. He's dead. One of his lungs collapsed, and they took him in and they said, it's the vaporing. An ordinary cigarette, if you quit smoking ordinary cigarettes, after so many years, your lungs can heal themselves and recover. But they say the vapor does unrepairable damage. Vaporing. And that wee lad vapored and his lung collapsed and they got him in the hospital. And while he was in the hospital, the other lungs collapsed. Well, that a fella, he's Polish, by the way, and I've mentioned this, tell him what he thinks of us, because I knew he was vaporing. Vaporing. And then some people think there's no sin in vaporing. Well, then there's no sin in taking drugs, because there's no difference. You might as well take a good dose of heroin. What's the difference? It's all part of the thing called sin and unbelief. It's the fruit of sin, isn't it? If you really believed, you wouldn't do it. But he said to me, oh, they've done a test in such a place, and only 2 out of 100 died with vaporing. So that justified him to do it. You're all right, only 2 died. You know, there's a friend of mine tell me the other day, they told him, they tested him for high blood pressure, and he's a bit high, and they made him go to the doctors, and he got tested. And his mother-in-law was telling him, she says, oh, but he told her that nobody in the family had ever suffered from whatever this was he had anyhow. And the mother-in-law told him, she says, oh, my uncle, nobody suffered from it, but he died. And I says, it wasn't that great news she gave you. Very encouraging news. That's the world, isn't it? But you see this idea, young people, listen to this preacher tonight. This idea that vaporing is okay and vaporing will do you no harm. That's the same voice that told Eve, you can eat of it. God doesn't mean what he really says. And when she partook of it was forbidden. But you took of it anyhow. And you plunged this whole world into death. And I tell you, vaporing will kill you. And the best thing, you know what you want to do if somebody hands you a vapor and tells you to try it? Take your toe and kick it like you want a football as far away from you as you can. That's the best bit of advice I can give you. Or smash it off a wall. Or if you have a sledge handy, hammer, don't use a wee one. Get a big one and smash it or put it under the car. Drive over to it 10 times. That's what I do with vaporing pipes. And I see women today running about and they're puffing and working at them. And it's the whole trend of the hour, vaporing. And they're killing themselves. You say, brother, you're preaching against it tonight. Well, why not? Nobody else is. Somebody's going to have to. Amen. I tell you, we need holiness. And when we are saved, that's one of the things we'll have is holiness. The God we serve is a holy God. If you have Christ, you have salvation. You could have a Baptist card, a Brethren card, a Presbyterian card, an Elam card, any card you want. And I'm just saying, and I've nothing against any of them, but they're all denominations, but they wouldn't do one thing for you. But if you've got Jesus Christ, you've got something. You've got eternal life. You've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. 1 John 5:1-11-12, we've read it, and this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son of life, praise God. Let's look carefully at what the verse says, first of all, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is the way of salvation is free. Absolutely free. Amen. You know, I heard a thing on the radio, because for I'm working, the radios are going every day, and they've all the stupidest tunes on. You know, there's one of them, and you know what they sing? I dance with my eyes closed. And I can't figure that one out. You can't help me. But I'll tell you one thing. The Bible says watch and pray. But they're dancing with their eyes closed. I told them and they laugh at me. But I said they need a watch. They'll dance into a wall. I'm dancing with my eyes closed. The biggest load of nonsense on the world will run for it. I'm dancing with my eyes closed. And then there's another one in the sing. And if you fall out with me, I'll tell your dad all about it. Tell your dad everything if you fall out with my. Oh, if we ever break up. That's a whole big thing if we ever break up. You see, living in sin today is normal. Now, I've got children of my own doing it, but it doesn't make it right either, though my children's doing it. It's still wrong. And I tell them it's wrong. It's called fornication and adultery in the Bible. And this world today, marriage is looked at as nothing no more. They live together in sin today. But the Bible says we're not to do that. We're to live holy unto the Lord. Is that the truth? It's absolutely, it's the truth. And even though your people belong to us and does it, we can't live it for them. Well, we still don't have to agree with it. It's like a person that's a homosexual. You mightn't be able to change them. Only God can do that. But you don't have to agree with it because it's wrong. I was telling a woman one day and she tried to justify it all to me. I surprised the woman of her intelligence. She didn't say, no, I'll leave them all alone. They're doing nobody any harm. That's a lie to start with. That's one of the biggest lies you'll ever get. That come out of the Garden of Eden. They're doing nobody any harm. They're brainwashing the children of this generation. They're brainwashing them to tell them that's normal when it's not normal. It's far from normal. And you can't speak against this and you can't speak against someone else. Thank God for mercy tonight. Amen. This is another way and salvation's free. God is not selling salvation. He's giving it away. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. What's verse 17? God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He is the only way. There's no other way. Salvation's free. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. For by grace you're saved through faith, that not yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot work for salvation. It comes because of the love and mercy and the grace of God. Salvation is a free gift of God. As it says in the original text in verse 11, God has given us eternal life. We never deserved it. We never worked for it. You think of a wee lad gets saved like Gary when he's young. Now he's never lived a long life to pay for to get it, but he got it all the same. And then you take an old boy that's lived like a drunkard and done all sorts of things his whole life and gets saved at the last. He's still saved. They're both still saved. That's the thing about it. That's God's mercy. That's what that is. Here's another thought. The same verse says, and this life is in his Son. I want to really emphasize this tonight. This is not emphasized enough in modern Christian preaching today. They preach about being good and they preach about this and that and the other, but salvation's only in Jesus. Amen. There's a young man went into a big church in America recently and he prophesied to a certain man. Now, I won't name this man tonight, but his father was a great man. He was Pentecostal Baptist. But he got the Holy Ghost. His father did, and he was a Pentecostal. But the son, when he was asked on a famous television program, is there more ways to heaven than one? He said, absolutely, there's more ways than Jesus. Well, he's a liar. Amen. Jesus is the only way. Amen. Buddha and Muhammad is the opposite to Jesus. I'm going to go as far as saying that. They're the wrong way. Amen. They can't see him. They can't save you or me, for they weren't fit to save their own selves. But Jesus is the only one that can say, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. This have I received from my Father. That's the only man that can talk like that. And we heard Brother Brand preach so well on the Saturday night service all about the Lord, how the devil tried to kill all them children that came along, thinking he'd wipe out the promised seed. But he wasn't fit to do it. He set his face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem. And he went up to die on the cross to save. The only salvation God can give anybody is in his Son, Jesus Christ. It's God's plan of salvation. Jesus Christ came into the world to save no one but sinners. No one but sinners. That's who he came to save. Nobody else can save them. Nobody else can save the sinner, only Jesus. And nobody else can save anybody, only Jesus. Because Jesus is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now I looked a bit more at this word today, mediator. And 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 and 6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He has not put salvation into the hands of anybody else to distribute. It's Jesus alone that saves. Now we can preach it in that sense. We can offer it through his name. We cannot offer it through our name or through the church or through a movement or through a program. We can only offer salvation through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is the only one that can save. Some people think salvation's in the church. They're wrong. Salvation's in Christ alone. Some people believe that salvation's in the handshake or in the priesthood. But they're wrong. Salvation is in the hands of Jesus Christ Himself personally. Some people are taught that by ordinances of the church that salvation can be given. Infant baptism, sprinkling the water. All wrong. As a matter of fact, if you go down that road, you're going the wrong track to start with. That's in the works program. Amen. Or communion at the altar, they think God gives salvation. But salvation is not in the priest or preachers. It's not in the ordinance of the churches. Or that some people say, we're the bride of Jesus Christ. We can redeem ourselves. They're saying they can save themselves. They're liars. Now that's strong preaching, but I'm not changing it. I'll tell you that right now. If somebody gets this message and hears it, do whatever you want with it. But that's the Bible truth. You cannot save yourself. You actually can't even be saved until you realize you're lost first. There you are. And if you're going about saying you can redeem yourself, you're saying you never were lost. Only God knows who's going to come, and we're not God. And I tell you, I thank God that He's in authority and He's in control. We could never save ourselves. We needed saving because we were lost. If you didn't need saving, you'd never been lost. Do you realize that? If you didn't need to be saved, and if you could save yourself, Jesus would never have needed to go to the cross. But He had to go for the cross. For this reason was the Son of God manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. He went to the cross. Salvation is in the hands of Jesus Christ alone, verse 11. And this is the record that God has given eternal life, and this life is in His Son. When any poor sinner confesses to the priest his sins, and the priest promises him forgiveness, the priest is either ignorantly or willfully deceiving the confessing sinner. Now somebody said, oh, but Jesus said, I give you power to remit sins. Absolutely. William Branham is the only man that I heard preach that right. And I'll tell you how he preached it, brother. He said that God gave us the prescription for sins to be forgiven under. Acts 2:38. Yes. That's what he said. Right. Repent ye therefore, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said that's the prescription for sins to be forgiven under. There it is. And that's the same as the early church preached. And Peter preached that. And Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the prescription. No priest can do it. In a confectionery box, he's a hypocrite. I tell you, we're too far too soft, you know. And, you know, Protestantism, they talk about Protestantism and they don't even know the meaning of it. Protestantism means protesting. That you protest every single thing that's against this book. That's real Protestantism. Well, there's a lot of things organizations have that's not in this Bible. And they're absolutely anti-Christ. Well, they need protested just the same as the Catholic Church stuff needs protested. Is that the truth? Thank God we're free. When an earnest soul prays to the Virgin Mary asking her to intercede with Christ, he does wrong, dishonors Christ. And I tell you, there's a thing called the 14 Stations of the Cross. How many's ever heard of it? Well, I'm telling you tonight, it's believed. They call it 14 Stations of the Cross. And then what they do in the Mel Gibson's movie, parts of it were good, parts of it were antichrist. Just tell it how it is. And they said that Mary knelt down at them 14 stations and she prayed for Jesus every time or he never would have made it. Now I want to tell you that's a figment of some man's imagination. She had to go with the rest of them into the upper room on the day of Pentecost has fully come, and you had to get the same Holy Ghost Peter got, or you would never have made it. Now some people might like to hear that, but I believe that because it's the Bible. And they say Peter was the first pope. That's false as well. And I'll tell you how it's false, because my Bible says Peter's mother-in-law lay sick of a fever, and they went and prayed for it, and God healed her. Now, how could Peter's mother-in-law lay sick of a fever? Peter never was married, and he's the first pope, all fabricated of man's imagination. People are following vain fables of man today, not the Bible. And people are blinded by it. And I tell you the truth, we need to pray for our neighbors. We need to. That the glorious light of the gospel would burst in on them and light them up and bring them out of darkness. Oh, I tell you, it wasn't Luther something. People look at me, and I don't care about it. One fellow gave me comments one night. We were live here. He was a staunch message man. Well, I'm a staunch message man as well, because the message is in this Bible that I'm staunch for. But I praised Martin Luther, and he didn't like it, because he wasn't the messenger of this seventh church age. That's true. But he was one of the messengers of one of the other ages. And I'll tell you one thing, what God did through Luther still is in effect today. Amen. And the church of Rome hates that. Do you realize it said that the Reformation's been overturned? Do you realize they believe that? But it can't be. We're still here and we're alive and kicking. Amen. Amen. How many believe you have Reformation for you? Yes. You believe in being born again? Amen. Luther was in absolute pitch darkness. He'd done all of it. Done everything he could do. And he went to one of them old priests. You know he's a monk of the Augustine order. He stripped himself naked and lay on a stone floor. Founded himself to death and fasted for weeks at a time. Starving himself to get favor with God. And all along there was favor in Christ. Amen. And all along it wasn't by works. The just shall live by faith. Amen. Martin Luther could save through the strength of a few words. Because they were God's words. And the few words of God had more power than all the words of the Pope and Pope heads of Rome had for years. Them words had more power and they've still power. Amen. The word of God's powerful. It's quick and sharp and powerful. And there's a two-edged sword that divides the bone from the marrow. That's how sharp it is. Thank God he got saved. And my, he come out of the Church of Rome and he seen a wee boy staggering home one Saturday night. And he said, and what sort of a state, brother, is that you're in? And he says, I was given indulgences. That's a license to sin. I think there's churches today selling them. I'm going to be honest with you. There's churches today in this town. And I think they're tucked up a rope. And they're selling indulgences. Because they go into smoking. And they come out smoking fags. I tell you one thing, when you get in touch with God, he'll tick you up the fags all right. When my dad got restored, he threw the pipe under the track of the dozer. And he crushed it. And I was with him. I'll never forget it. There's a fellow says, Billy, I have a whole load of tobacco here. I think he actually gave him it. And boy, he come home with a big bag. I'll never forget it. And he smoked that old red stuff. It would have poisoned the donkey. War horse. It was a horse. For horses. But it was never made for humans. It was made for horses, all right. War horse is it. And he used to cut it with a knife. And now listen to me, brother, tonight. You weren't allowed an ordinary knife. No, it had to be one of them wee white boys. If you had one today, it's worth a load of money. What's the name of them things? Barber knife. You had to have the barber knife. And you had to cut it with the barber knife. And you had to have a way of cutting it. And then you had to put it in the palm of your hand. You rolled it all up like this. And then you got the pipe up in, and you got him filled up. And my dad didn't have an ordinary pipe either. No. Everything with my dad was over the top. You should know that. She was one of them big things, like an end on her like that. She held him in the whole tub of it in the one shot. It was like a train going. I remember it well. An ordinary pipe wouldn't do. But what I'm telling you is this is the truth. I want you to see what God can do. You know, that tobacco he was given and he didn't want to waste it. It was lovely. And he was smoking it and the Lord said to him, quit now. And he said, oh Lord, if this tobacco he smoked will quit. And the Lord said to him again, why don't you quit now? And he said, I will, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Tobacco and all under the track, praise God. Pipes and all, get rid of them. If you have a pipe in your house, put it in the bin. Or smash it with a hammer, because you don't need it. That's the only thing I can tell you about it. I tell you, God led me to preach about alcohol in Australia, and I felt led to preach about it. And And after the service, I preached it. There's two different boys tackled me at the table. They were social drinkers. Yeah. And they wanted to give me a whole talk about social drinking. And did I think it was a sin? Did I think this? Did I think that? I'll tell you, when God delivered me from drinking, He delivered me. And I've no interest to go back to it. I'll tell you that now. The devil will ruin your testimony through drink. And smoking and all that dirt, you don't need it. Get rid of the whole lot. Give it the bin test. That's the best test. But I tell you, one fellow, he was up in arms that I had mentioned drinking. He took it bad. He enjoyed a social drink. They enjoy a social drink, and then the next thing, they're tipsy. Yeah. They're running about, and they don't know where they are. That's a social drinking for you. And then you run into somebody, and you'll tell them you're saved, and they'll say, you're not saved. That's what the devil told me. He says, Tommy, you're not saved. You're drunk. What was it I said to him? Oh, but I'm all right. I'm saved. I'm, you know, that was it. You see, what happens even though you are saved? He's got his foot in, and you've let him get it in. You're the one who let him get the foot in. So don't let the enemy get the foot in. If he gets his foot through the door, he pries it open. Keep the door closed for him. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I don't even know why I'm preaching any of these things. None of us planned, but it's happened anyhow. But I'm telling you, God can deliver you from drinking and smoking and all sorts of stuff, and stuff that you don't see, but God sees it. God sees everything. God can deliver from everything. Praise God. Now, I know there's a little wine for the stomach's sake, and everybody quotes it, but then what about the other scripture? It says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor strong drink, spear no folly him. They don't quote it. Nobody likes that verse. But I like it. Because it's just as good a verse. Now, a drink, it'll not send you to hell. I know that. But it's not a good testimony if you're sitting drinking and you have a wee son watching you, or a wee daughter. And they say, daddy drinks. Mommy drinks. Is that right? And I tell you, it's not a good testimony. I tell you, that's the Virgin Mary never had to pray once for Jesus. But I want to tell you, Jesus prayed for her. Do you know how I know that? Because Jesus said, I thank you, Father, that for all those that thou hast given me, she was one of them. And I pray not only for these, but I pray also for those that shall believe through their testimony. That's what he prayed. The Lord has prayed for you and me. Let me read you this, and I'm going to come to close from verse 5. There's one God who's the maker, governor, preserver of all men, of every condition, of every nation, equally wills the salvation of all. One mediator, the word, and the Greek word here, mediator, signifies literally a middle person, one whose office it is to reconcile two parties in enmity. And hence, Pseudos explains it, and he gives a Greek word, by a peacemaker, God was offered with the crimes of men to restore them to this peace. Jesus Christ was made incarnate, and being God and man, both God and man met and reconciled by him. But the reconciliation required the sacrifice on the part of a peacemaker, mediator. Hence, Jesus Christ was that one. Spurgeon says it better than anybody. He says he was a God-man. He was God and he was man. For in Christ Jesus dwells a fullness of Godhead bodily. He was God and man. And he made reconciliation. No prophet could make it. No priest could make it. But Jesus, being both prophet and priest, done it. And he reconciles us back to God, and we're saved. Now, we could do all them things. You could be saved and smoke. You could be saved and drink. It won't stop you being saved. But it's not a good thing to do. And there's other things I haven't mentioned. Secret things, what you could do, but it's not good things to do either. We want to live holy to the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's a power with the power of God, and there's a place you can come into with God, and you need to be living right. Am I preaching the truth? I believe I am. And God wants it, and God can move. Let's stand our feet tonight. God bless each one. Every head bowed, every head closed. And you'd say, brother, pray for me. Will you just lift your hand up to the Lord tonight? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You know, I had so many hang-ups before I got right with God, but the Lord delivered me. Delivered me. Amen, brother. That's the truth. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you carried us, all our sins, all our iniquities, and you bore the burden for us on the cross. And it's through your precious blood we're saved. And we thank you tonight we're saved for all time and eternity. Lord, we fail you many times. We make mistakes many times. We fall short many times. But it still remains the same. Because of your mercy and your grace, you have saved us for all time and eternity. We thank you for the lovely person of the Savior tonight. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you when we've got Christ, we've got salvation. For salvation is in Christ alone. Through faith alone, in Christ alone, are we saved. We bless your name tonight. May nobody be offended at the truth of God. But I pray the Holy Spirit will work in each and every one. Lord, in our own children that's away from you, living wrong and doing wrong. Lord, we can't live it for them, but we claim them tonight under the token. We pray the blood of Jesus Christ over every son and every daughter, husband, wives, aunts, nieces, nephews. Lord, save every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Move on them and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' precious name, sanctify every one of us tonight. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless each one as our brother Gary comes. And next Sunday morning, we're going to have a dedication service. And then our brother Larry will be preaching in the evening. We'll be back Wednesday night, 7:30, the Lord will. God bless each one.
Can we sing that hymn? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me.